And welcome, everybody, to Say Report Junior. I am Dale Decker, one of your hosts. Oh, this is a podcast. You should. I'm just gonna stop you right there before I'm gonna finish first. Hold on. It's a podcast you should be listening to, subscribe to, downloading, and every single week, something like that. I'm Dale Decker.
And I'm Taylor Swift being interrupted by Kanye. Hello, I'm Zach.
Yeah. Yeah. What's up?
Oh, not much. It's just so very cold.
It's so very cold.
Very, very cold.
That's why my drink of choice this week is alcoholic. Not just alcoholic, tequila.
Mine is also alcoholic, but it was in a refrigerator, so it's not making me any warmer.
That's true. So was mine. But, you drink cold beer on a cold day to, that Cheers thing. From Cheers, philosophy from Cheers.
I'm gonna go with the dog that rescues you with brandy out in the snow and warms you up. Although I think Mythbusters proved something about that being wrong or bad. I think that actually just makes you get hypothermia faster. I don't know.
So, okay. I have no idea how to bounce off of that.
How have you been?
I'm
good.
Wait,
you're supposed to ask me that because you opened. Shit.
Whatever. Structure's out the window at this point. I'm eating bread on mic. I don't care.
Well, I'll tell you.
Structure.
Let me give you the most up-to-date update I have right now, which is that I tried to buy the new non-Pokemon game, Temtem. Spent $35, bought that on early access, sat in a queue for like an hour because it's an MMO and it was completely overloaded by everyone going, oh my god, new non-Pokemon game.
Yeah.
And so after I went from being 3,700 in the queue to 3,100 in the queue and didn't go anywhere else, I went, I'll check this later.
So precisely why I did not freak out is because I saw it's going to be on Switch and PS4.
Eventually, whenever it comes off of early access. Yeah, I just wanted to know what we were getting into.
That's why I was like, yeah, I'm gonna wait.
I thought it was gonna be
a shit show.
I just thought it would be a fun surprise to be like, so by the way, I've got Temtem answers for you. I don't, though. I don't.
That's
what
fine.
I can tell you is they have a screen that says, hey, we're fucking overloaded and dying on the server side, so you're gonna have to wait.
Which, like, I guess is good.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. Like, I saw that tweet that I sent you about it. And I was like, oh, I think I vaguely heard about this, but hey, look, cool trailer. And then, you were like, oh my god, it comes out tomorrow. And sure enough, a bunch of, streamers and stuff that I see online all the time are like, hey, I'm streaming Temtem.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I saw it was coming out tomorrow, and then I was like, is it free? Is it, how much is it? Like, I couldn't find a price anywhere. That's
why $35.
Yeah, okay. So that's cool, but. I'm like, that's, and I was reading their Kickstarter. It's like, it's not going to be pay to win. You won't have to buy Temtems. You won't have to buy things to armor them up or anything like that. Like, it's not going to be pay to win. So that's cool. And that you don't need a subscription for it, which is also very cool.
Which means that at some point, one of those two things is going to have to change.
Probably.
I mean, we'll see how any number of things can get implemented. I don't even know how the game is structured. Because I know, people are like, well, they're saying it's like Pokemon. But really, that's an aesthetically, it's like Pokemon. But it's not, doesn't play like Pokemon.
Well,
so I don't know how it plays, which is why.
Yeah, why you bought it. Have you seen any of the other videos, or did you just see that? Okay, so
I saw that, and I heard people talking about it, and I was like, I got $30. I just want to try it.
So basically what it is that, I'm going to say it, I don't give a shit, I have no shame. It looks like it's going to be Pirates 101 or Wizards 101 mixed with Pokemon.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with a little Pokemon RuneScape. You can't complain about that.
So, basically, the Temtems are held, based on these, videos that I was watching, Temtems are held in cards, these little, basically Pokeballs, but they're flat.
So Pokemon cards.
Yeah, they're basically cards. And so it seems like you can fight the Temtem, and then you capture them in the card. So, like, you basically capture them in a Harry Potter painting, it seems, because they move, it looks like, in the card animation, too.
They're constantly screaming, asking to be left out of their little hellscape that you've left them in. Yep, I get it.
Yeah. and it looks like, and battles look like, you know, they're very, you know, they're stylized, they're different, but they look like Pokemon battles. Like, that looks like, you know, you have their Temtem on that side, our Temtem on this side, gonna choose a move, and it's gonna do it.
Like, yeah, I mean, they're definitely not hiding the fact that this is like that is an influence. They're just putting their spin on it. A thing that I wish more games had tried. I think one of the biggest criticisms you hear of Pokemon all the time is like, oh, it's always just the same game again because they're doing this and this. It's like, yeah, and I think a big part of that is because they make millions of dollars every time they put the same game out again because they have no competition.
Exactly.
Because other people are not trying to take that formula and do their own thing with it. I think Pokemon would have been forced to adapt a number of ways by now if someone else had come along and brought something else to the table. I'm not saying at all that Temtem is that. They're not the size of Niantic or Game Freak or anything like that. But, I mean, the more that people have other options, the more, the better. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it looks like I'm excited that it's going to be on Switch and PS4 because it's like, well, I can get on my PS4 and basically play Pokemon, well, a Pokemon-like game on my PS4. Like, that's fun to me. Although it does mean trophies, which that sucks.
Well, that's why you get it on Switch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
The thing about Switch, though, is that since it's an MMO, you're almost always going to need to have internet. And if I want to play it in the car, I'm not going to be able to.
That's very true. But, so, like, I mean, to be fair,
at least Pokemon, I can play anywhere. I don't need it.
Here's the deal, though. To be fair, you're in that same exact position when you buy it on PS4. The option that you have with the Switch is that you can then take it and go sit in another room if you feel like it.
Yeah, but
I'm just saying, the it's always online thing actually, I mean, applies to everything. It's
well,
like
yeah,
Switch
true.
Is like the only
but
the
I
only
think
benefit
I feel
Switch
less,
have
I've...
would be to move, would be the mobility of it, but taking that out of the equation.
Yeah, but the thing is that I feel less bad when it's on my PS4. Like, I'm trying to think of other games that I love on my PS4, but I don't think I would be okay with on my Switch, and it's like Overwatch or Paladins. Like, I've tried Paladins on the Switch, and it's just not.
Oh, that's because and a big part of that is because the Switch is terrible first person.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. It was not good. But like, no. And then I think of like Apex. I don't think I would want on the Switch, or like Destiny, which again, these are all shooters, first person shooters. But you know, it's just online games other than like Pokemon. Or you know, Smash or something. I don't.
But again,
need...
stuff that has a offline component that you can interact
exactly.
with.
Yep. Exactly. So it's like, oh, I have a game for my Switch that I literally can only play in my house, or I guess, you know, you can make the argument now that you can play it at like a hotel or something, like, you know, but hotel internet's gonna be shitty. It's not gonna work anyways. So basically,
and that's compounding it with Nintendo's terrible internet structure to begin with.
So like, basically, you bought a game that you still can only play in your house. Granted, you could switch rooms, but you know how easy a PS4 is to unhook and then rehook up in a different room? It's pretty easy.
But not in an instant. I mean, the idea of this is I could take it and walk out of the room. I can literally pick it up and walk away without ever stopping what I'm doing.
Yeah, like, you have no idea how many times we have moved our PS4s around, like, just within a second.
Well, I also can't finish Link to the Past in an hour and a half, but you give me 1,000 tries at it like you guys have for PS4 switching. You speed run PS4 switching. I get it.
Yeah. You keep the cables, you know, that you need. Close by. I don't know why.
I don't know why you decided to start eating.
I decided to start eating my piece of bread. That was not smart. But no. So Temtem, I'm excited.
You have to start figuring out how to randomize your house. Then you can really optimize that speed run.
Oh my god. Jesus. There's magic out there, I'm sure. There's technology that could do it, which is basically the real world magic.
We'll put you in cube. We'll put you in cube.
Yeah. It'd be fine. But yeah, so Temtem, when it eventually comes to the other consoles, I'm most likely getting it on my PS4.
Yeah, by next episode, I'm sure I'll be able to give you some, like,
yeah,
straightforward idea of what's going on, but until I can actually get into the...
It's
I also give it, like, 2 days before people, like, are like, I'm just going to wait, and then the queue dies down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, there are gameplay videos out there. That's what I was watching yesterday. After you told me about it. So that's how I got all of that. And I feel like that's basically just what you're going to experience.
Right. I mean,
and
it's in early access.
A little bit more.
The first thing you see when you get onto it is, just so you know, early access. That means we're like halfway through shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not going to see everything.
But you got
just,
to...
You're going to have to deal.
Yeah. You got to customize your character. You can... It basically felt, the way I was watching it, it felt like Pokemon. Oh, what is it called?
Was it Revolution? Is that the MMO we were playing?
Yeah, the MMO Pokemon game. It basically feels like Pokemon Revolution. Yeah, that's what it was called. Which, like, I stopped playing very early on.
I mean, I stopped playing because I don't sit down and play MMOs on a large basis, but that doesn't mean I won't give this a shot, especially if I'm not spending any more money than $35 to throw down on it.
I was thinking about it on the way home. I'm like, man, the amount of hours I put in to Pirates 101 and Wizards 101, which are MMOs that, like, I freaking love. I cannot say how much I love these games. I've not played them since college. But I played them so much that it's very interesting to me that I don't like games like Fallout or anything like that. Like,
well, okay. First off,
which is or like Fallout 76, right? Which is more MMO.
Right, but the problem is that Fallout 76 is just poorly built from the ground up. But I know what you're saying.
But I think the difference between them... Because, like, think of Destiny. By all accounts, Destiny is an MMO, right?
Yes.
I mean, it is, right? Right? It's an MMO. But that's still an open world. Like, I don't like open world games, except for Horizon Zero Dawn. But I don't like open world games until, like, there's the MMO aspect. Like, where everybody is on at the same time and you can team up and, you know, it's interesting to just, like, see other people in my screen, which is so lame. Like, when I first went online with Pokemon and I saw a whole bunch of other people in the wild area, I got so excited. And I'm like, oh my god, there's other people and we're playing this at the same time. It's not like it's delayed. Well, I mean, there might be a delay. But, like, it's like we're in the same room playing this
again,
together.
Nintendo infrastructure. Yes, yeah. There's delay.
Like, it was just, like, it was this really cool thing that I realized with Pirates 101 and Wizards 101, where I'm like, there are other people sitting at their dining room table on their laptops playing this right now. That's so cool.
It's funny because it's almost like you're describing, and the wild area definitely hit this for me too, which I think I've talked about this before, when I would play Minecraft on servers but not actually talk to people.
Yeah.
I wasn't going on those servers to actually interact with other people. I just liked the idea that there were other people around.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm going to go off. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to see a little notification once in a while that somebody did a thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to do my own thing. And then I'm going to turn around and they'll be there. And then they'll leave.
Yeah.
And that's great. And I never have to deal with any of the other aspects of that. Mm-hmm. And the wild area is perfect for that because I could see all these people walking around and I can't do jack shit with them half the time.
Yeah. That's great.
Which is fine because I don't want to. I like the idea that they're there because it makes the world feel fuller.
Yeah.
But much like the real world, I don't want to actually interact with you people. It's cool that you're there. Just give me my space.
Let me catch my Dreepy alone, please.
What's the not that you're a fan of Clerks these days, but you hate people, but I love crowds. The one thing that I still take with me from Clerks.
I don't even here's the thing, Zach. I don't even remember that line.
Yeah, when they're talking about going to that the funeral for the guy they went to high school with. He's like, why do you even want to go to this? You hate people. He's like, but I love gatherings. So, like,
okay.
I appreciate that. I can appreciate that. I love large groups of people where I can still be in my own insular world.
We basically, so you can people watch.
Kinda. Yeah. People just become obstacles. I think it's because I like crowded spaces. I'm not good in wide open areas. So you put me in a crowd and it's like I'm just navigating through a very hallway of other obstacles.
Did you live in the desert?
Yeah, but I lived in a very small apartment. And I lived in a very small apartment in the desert.
Yeah.
I could surround myself with all of my stuff.
Fair enough. So what else have you been doing?
I've been doing a bunch of stuff. I've seen movies. I've played games.
You sound like me.
Right? I've been doing this in like bits and pieces of the wee hours after work and shit.
Nice.
So I played short games, and I saw two movies that came out 3 weeks ago, so there was no one with me in them.
Nice.
I shouldn't say that. Actually, both movies had a bunch of talkative teenagers, but they're horror movies, so it's fine.
Not underwater. Underwater, it's not fine.
It was fine for me when I saw Underwater, because here's the thing. When I go to movies by myself, every movie theater has that front section that everyone tries to avoid.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first, like, four rows or sometimes just the first two rows, whatever it is. I sit in that area when I go by myself now. I just sit in whatever back row of that is. And I'm usually by myself.
Oh, my God.
And sometimes I can hear people murmuring behind me, but otherwise I hear nothing.
Oh, God.
And it's fine.
Oh, you're, like,
again,
breaking your neck the whole time.
No. Especially if you're in that back row. You're just, like, you lean back, like, reclining. It's not like super breaking my neck. I'm not in the front row or anything. But I just lay back and I look up and it's fine. And I can, it's all good. I have my drink with me because I go to movie theaters that sell beer exclusively now.
Mm-hmm.
And I did screw it up with Cats. When I saw Cats, I went into that second row because they made me choose my seat at that Regal.
Yep.
Even though there was 10 people in the whole theater.
Yep.
So I was like, yeah, second row, that should be fine. Because I wasn't thinking. I'd never been in one of those theaters before, so I didn't actually have, like, a point of reference. And even when I bought the ticket, the guy was like, we can change that for you afterwards, just so you know. And I was like, nah, it'll be fine. And then I sat down, and I realized that the screen looked like a trapezoid from my ankle.
Oh, my God. That sounds like hell.
It was fine because you know what? It distorted the makeup just enough that it didn't bother me as much.
I can't have that conversation again.
So yeah, I saw Underwater and I saw The Grudge.
Mm-hmm.
Underwater was better. Grudge was still very good.
Okay.
Grudge was interesting because of the way, I don't want to go like too much into it because you haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's.
I mean, I probably won't see it until years.
Okay.
The
well, then it's.
But don't.
It's,
but still, if you don't want to go into it.
I mean, no. I mean, there's bits and pieces I can go into without like just like doing like total spoilers or anything. It's just like interesting ways it's structured, which is made very obvious. It's not like a surprise. They put giant title cards up so that you're not confused by this. It's happening in three different years.
Oh,
there's a story happening in 2004, a story happening in 2005, and a story happening in 2006, which is also really interesting that it's still a 14-year-old movie, like a period piece of the early 2000s on top
cool.
of what's going on. So it's extremely, you know, it's slow, it's quiet. When I came out, this group of girls that were in there is like 13-year-old girls who I don't know how they got in. Because it's an R-rated movie. They should not have been in there by showcase standards. That's all I'm saying. But it was so funny because one of them goes, I cannot believe that was the first scary movie I ever saw in a theater. I can't believe that was the one.
Oh, my God.
It's like, yeah, because you saw a movie that's like, I mean, it's a horror movie that's really about, like, adults. Like, that is not a teen horror movie. Everybody in that movie is over the age of 35. Like, it's all about like family and parenthood and like all sorts of other fears that teenagers don't generally have.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised they didn't like it. I will say that one of the girls in that group definitely screamed bloody murder at one point.
Oh my God.
It relies, and this is why Underwater is the better movie. the Grudge unfortunately ends up relying on some of the same stuff for like tension building throughout the movie. So like by the end, by like the last like 20 minutes or so, you kind of get it, which is unfortunate. But it still has like its jump scares here and there, but it's doing a lot more like slow burn stuff, like stuff running around in the background kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, but there was one moment where something jumped out and I just hear, again, with a good 30 feet between us because of where I'm sitting and where they're sitting, something pops up and I just hear at the top of her lungs these girls screams.
Oh man.
And I was like, yes, that was good. that was a good reaction.
Damn. Hey, it's gonna happen when you, I mean, I screamed, I heard, was it underwater? Did I scream it underwater? Or was it Bad Boys for Life?
Are there jump scares in Bad Boys for Life?
I don't remember. There was something recently that I screamed at, but like it wasn't a horror movie.
Was it one of the Star Wars showings?
I don't know. I don't remember. But I did. I like screamed in the theater, and I'm like, I didn't need. That's not the crowd I'm in. I'm not in the crowd of it's okay that you just scared. It might have been underwater. I don't remember. But
man, let's talk about Underwater.
Let's talk about Underwater.
Underwater is a good movie.
Well, Underwater is a fantastic movie. And here's spoiler friends, by the way. Like, we're going to be talking all about Underwater, okay? Get ready.
The nice thing is, there's stuff we're going to spoil, but the nice thing is that the movie is pretty much what it says on the tin in a trailer, which is they're underwater and they're stuck
monsters.
Underwater and then monsters attack.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the movie. And it just does some great things with character after that.
And the thing that I'm going to first like point out is that like it's interesting that we call them monsters because they're scientifically,
they're natural.
They're like
natural.
That's the thing is that so I talked about how because I saw Underwater and Like a Boss, that was the double feature, and Underwater was the more believable movie.
we both did the same thing, by the way, which is that we saw Underwater first. That was just by nature of what showings were left.
Yeah.
By the time I saw The Grudge, there was one showing at 9:50 remaining.
God.
So I had to go see it second. But again, we both saw the stronger movie first.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But it's like it was because if you think about the ocean, and I'm gonna get on a little soapbox right now. If you think about the ocean, there's shit in the ocean that we don't know is existing. Like there's stuff in the ocean, quite literally right now, that we do not know exists.
I'm sorry. Because you said the soapbox thing, I immediately in my brain started picturing this you at the aquarium in the lobby as children are coming in. And the first thing they hear is, there's shit you don't even know about.
Oh my God.
Like every time a fucking field trip walks by, just like, oh man, this isn't even the cool shit. We haven't even found
shit
yet.
No, but seriously, like, there is stuff in the water that we don't know. Just like there's stuff in space that we don't know is there. And that is so cool to me when it scares other people. But the thing about Underwater is that those animals, I mean, they're animals. Like, they're basically cephalopods.
They were like mermaid cephalopods, though. Like, they had like the top halves of them were vaguely humanoid in a very disturbing way.
Yeah. Like, it was so, so cool. And the fact that they didn't have eyes was really, really nice because at that depth, in that darkness, animals do not have
eyes. Eyes is useless down there.
They don't. Like, it's a lot of just, like, organisms that rely on just motion and electromagnetic, like pulses and just vibrations. Like, it's a lot of, just getting around by knowing the ocean. Like, you're a little animal, you're a little organism, you just know the ocean. So that was awesome. Like, a really cool, like, we understand how science works and how oceans, like, how marine biology works. And we're going to make a quote-unquote monster out of that. But, like, these could be things that are in the ocean right now.
But they take it to a H.P. Lovecraft Cthulhu-esque extreme that is just magnificent at the end of that movie.
So basically...
The fucking elder god
fucking Godzilla of the sea. Like, basically a kaiju coming up out of... That's also what I think of them as, is like, they're basically like, there's that big mama kaiju, and then the little baby kaiju.
I mean that is essentially, like, I mean, kaiju just being a word in favor of giant monster. But even to go to Pacific Rim, that's the story in Pacific Rim. They cracked something up open in the ocean, and these things came out. So they built the robots to fight them.
Yeah, like, exactly. And it is like, they're called monsters and all that, but you know, they're animals. They could exist there. You fucked up and dug deeper than you should have. And nature is retaliating. Because, and that's the other thing that's, like, really interesting, is that I don't think they ever got called anything. I don't think they were named anything.
No, but that's, like, an interesting way thing to me. Because, I mean, this happened in Alien 2, not to jump on the obvious comparison. I don't want to go into the alien comparison too much, but they don't actually call them anything. It gets called a xenomorph later, which is when it becomes like a thing. But I love that idea. That's like, these things are killing you, you're not going to sit down and all have a discussion about what to call them.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, we could call them, I don't know, the
I'm going with mermaids. The mermaids.
They're not mermaids.
Mermaids are fucking terrifying, though. There are some things about mermaids that make them fucking terrifying in actual mythology.
All right.
I'm fine with it.
Fine. Because mermaids are great, and even they're great. Mermaids are great. We could call them, like, sizzly.
God, I really wish I knew a freaking octopus Pokemon name right
now. Well, that's, I mean, we could call them Octillery. We could call them Clobopus.
We should put puss in there. No, it feels like we're infantilizing them in some way.
But that's what there's a little octopus in Sun and Moon. It's got little boxing gloves.
Yeah, but they're supposed
Clobopus.
To be. Yeah, but you put that in there and it sounds cuter. That's the problem. So
how about we call them Tento. Not
tentacruels.
Mon.
They're tentacruels.
They're tentacruels. They're tentacruels. Hate everything about what just happened. I'm gonna name them Tentas.
I want to watch the Pokemon movie where Ash and Misty and Brock are stuck underwater with massive tentacruels attacking the bait.
God. Okay. So, going back to my point, the Tentas, which is what I am affectionately calling them, the Tentas basically are defending their home. And that's what people don't understand about animals, and specifically sharks. Like, there's a lot of, when it comes to, you know, marine life and whatnot, and there's all the stipulations that sharks are, like, bloodthirsty, you know, animals that just want to hunt down humans. And it is in part from movies. Yes, movies that I love. But, you know, whatever, it's because that's a whole nother conversation that I could get into, and like how I am such a freaking avid shark lover and that I also love shark movies, but I probably shouldn't because of how they represent sharks in them. But it was a lot of, I started learning about sharks in freshman year of high school, and we read a book called Close to Shore. We were talking about Jaws, and we were just talking about sharks in general. And then I saw Jaws, and I was like, this is super cool. It makes, like, this whole story just makes me more interested in sharks and what they do and how they react to things. So the thing about a shark, just like the thing about a dog or a cat or any, like, your home pets, like, if you piss them off enough, they're gonna attack you. If you get up in their grill and anger them, you're gonna get scratched or bit. It's just, that's the fact of, that's the fact of nature, right?
That definitely goes for rabbits, too. Just personal experience.
Like, it's gonna happen. So, it's that finding that mutual respect and that, you know, that animalistic respect, which is a weird term that I just get, whatever. But it's finding that respect between them. And it's interesting to watch this movie and be like, they're just defending their home. Like, you came here, built a fucking space station underwater, and that, you know, this is their home. They're
and in fact, built two.
It.
You built one, you drilled with it, you fucked it up, and then you went, we're gonna build a second one.
Exactly. So it's like, it's really, it's that interesting thing because, you know, and like, I feel bad for the crew because it's basically like, the other big thing that is only explained within title sequences is that all of this drilling is going on in the ocean, right? And I don't even remember what they're drilling for. Probably oil?
Some sort of energy, whether that's like heat, whether that's geothermal energy, or that's oil or whatever. They're drilling for shit.
Yeah, they're drilling for
capitalism. They're drilling for capitalism.
So basically, they're drilling in the ocean. They're like 7 meters down, I believe.
Seven meters. 21 feet.
Yeah, that's like, not far. They're 7 miles down, and that's where they're drilling. And a whole bunch of people were coming forward with concerns with the project, being like, "We heard there was stuff down there. Why are we sending these people down there basically to death? Like, what?"
And
not even
a matter of that. Like, you're going to fuck up the environment of the Mariana Trench without knowing anything about it. You're just going to start throwing shit into a hole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, like, there were reports that there were animals or there were organisms down there and they were, you know, attacking. And the government just was like, no, there's nothing. It's fine. We're going to keep going. Like, we're going to keep going on with the project. So you have that whole, like, cover-up shit going on. And so it's like you're watching the crew and you're like, you poor bastards were put in this situation. Well, I mean, whether or not I'm sure they chose to be there, but like they were fucking lied to pretty much.
I don't even think it's that they were lied to, is that they were like, we're going to go drill this thing. Do you want to go do it? And they were like, yeah, sure. We're going to do it. But the problem is that when it all goes to fucking hell, no one's going to back you up.
Exactly.
Like it's like the lie comes more from the fact that they're ever going to send someone to help you if it's all fucked up.
Yeah.
I think they knew exactly what they were getting into when they went down. They just expected more support when they were coming back.
True. All right. Fair enough. So it's like, you kind of knew what you were going into, but like, it's just, you know, I also understand that you need to survive. You're going to fight to survive, but also understand that these things, the Tentas are just trying to save themselves as well. And like, I get like, you know, Kristen Stewart needed to, spoilers, end of the thing, she blows up all of the rigs to kill the Tentas to allow two people to survive, which, like, that's how that movie was going to end. Or they're all going to die. And, you know, we still like
there's
happy
also,
endings.
I mean, there's also the, and there's the implication that, like, we don't know how to stop these things. So if we let them run rampant, they're going to kill more people and stuff like that, which... Yeah. That comes down to the conversation of where does natural selection come in on that? Because technically they were just fine where they were. Clearly they were prosperous enough where they were, but we opened up that environment to them, and whose consequence is that? I think that's this is the best thing about sci-fi. That's the thing. For a fairly simple concept film, it does the sort of thing that good sci-fi short stories do, which is you can sit there and be like, there's not as much as you want to, you can call the creatures, the Tentas.
I love Tentas.
Sorry.
That's terrible, but I love it.
you can call them an antagonist, but really they're just, like you said, they're just fending for themselves.
Yeah.
They were awoken and now they're doing what animals do when
exactly.
they're aggravated.
Yeah.
But the humans are also just trying to survive. There's not that, like, they didn't set out to kill all of them. That was the last ditch effort in that she was trying to help the only two people that were going to survive this situation.
Yeah.
Like, they set out to run away. Like, mm-hmm. 90% of this movie is them trying to run until
yeah.
eventually they're like, I can't fucking run anymore. You two go, and I'm going to fucking blow them to hell.
Yeah.
It's my
yeah.
only option left.
Yeah, I like that none of the crew was like, we need to kill them. We need to end this. Like, right off the bat, I was happy that.
Even when,
There could have been a character. There could have been, like, a Quint-esque character, you know, to compare it to Jaws for a second. Like, there could have been a somebody who's just like, let's just kill them all. Let's just do it. Like, we see one, we're going to kill it. It doesn't even matter if it's attacking us. We're just going to kill it. And it's like.
And to give it a big distinction from Alien, there could have been what?
No, I'm saying damn to myself.
Oh,
like how?
Okay.
Like, I'm saying damn to that character that didn't
yeah.
exist.
It, but they, to also to the movie's credit and to make it a big distinction from Alien, there could have been a bishop. Is it Bishop that's an alien or are they in Aliens? They're in The Hobbit, the robot.
I've only ever seen Alien.
So, well, I'm trying to think of Alien. I'm just trying to remember the android's name, but
oh.
I think Bishop's the one in Aliens. Anyway, there could have been a robot or any other character who's there to be like, oh, we actually knew these things were down there, and we lied to you, and secretly we just
yeah.
wanted to study these things,
yeah.
which is like, no, like, we don't
yeah.
want that to be the
yeah.
story either.
Yeah.
The story works best as a, we fucked up, we gotta run
yeah.
story.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it totally could have fallen into those tropes, and I'm super happy it doesn't. I also really, really love the fact that it just starts. Like, all of your build-up, all of the, like, main background stuff is in those title sequences. And then it literally starts with the rig getting, like, blown up. Well, not blown up, but, you know.
But, like, starting to collapse.
Starting
and, like,
to collapse on itself. The pressure
and, like,
and all that, like,
and you don't need more than that.
Yeah.
What you're going to know, what you need to know about these characters, you're going to learn from how they deal with
exactly.
in a crisis.
Exactly.
Like,
and that's it. It's a lot of just like, you guess what? You're in the situation with these characters. Learn all you need to. Like, it is a do or die situation right now. We don't have time to get into backstory.
And Kristen Stewart as the most anxiety-ridden mm. badass I've ever seen on screen. Mm. She was so great.
She's
like,
so
every time I think about this movie, the first thing I think about is when they finally all get together with, like, the captain and the crew, and
mm-hmm.
they're sitting there talking, and she's describing trying to all, like, get to the surface of the water. She's like, they're just gonna find all of our bodies and we're all gonna be floating in little bits, and she's
yeah.
like waving her hand around, and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly the thing that would have come out of my mouth, and I would have been flicking my hand around doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that whole angle of, like, her whole conversation, like, in her head, pretty much, of like, our captain is such an optimistic, but, like, down here there's a lot of, you need to look at things pessimistically. Like, you need to, you're gonna look at the negatives down here, because we came down here with a purpose and we chose to come down here. It's probably not gonna end well.
And yet she pushes through that pessimism
yeah.
at every step of the way. Like, it's interesting because it's like her, I mean, it gives you the idea that she very much respects that optimistic view that the captain has
yeah.
because it definitely is the thing that keeps her from just sitting there and letting everything go to hell.
Yeah.
She was like, well, you go until you run out of options.
Exactly.
And that's when things go to hell.
Yeah.
But as long as there are options, there are mm-hmm. options. So
yeah, it's just like, but as soon as she was in the bathroom, because that's the scene in the trailer.
Yes.
That's basically all you see in the trailer is her in the bathroom, brushing her teeth, and then the rig breaks, and then everybody's running, and then you get some glimpses of TJ Miller, and you get some glimpses of the other crew, and they're, like, dancing to music, and you think, oh, it's just gonna be everybody chilling out. No! This
yeah, you
is
think
after.
That's gonna be the first like 20 minutes of the movie, and it's like,
yeah,
no, that's actually 40 minutes in.
Not even. It's like 10. It's
and they're
like right after.
Oh, we're gonna go hunt some. We just got attacked by monsters. Let's go hunt some monsters. But while we do that, we're gonna sing and dance in the AirPod for a second.
Oh my god. But
TJ Miller in Newsroom there, whatever his name was.
I don't remember his name.
It's Smith, but
But like as soon as you see Kristen Stewart in the bathroom, I was sitting there, I'm like, oh my god, this movie's literally just gonna happen. Like, it's just gonna start. This is incredible. This is how I want my sea horror to be, and I freaking love sea horror. I just need to put that out there. That I have, and I might have said it before back when we were, like, first started this, and we were talking about horror movies.
I think when we talked about Crawl, we talked about this, too. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, which I still haven't seen Crawl.
God, it goes so well with this.
Yeah. So, but the whole thing is, like, I've never been, like, a scary movie person, but if a sea horror comes out, if it is a horror movie based around the ocean, I'm going to see it with no questions asked. Like, sign me up.
Did you see The Shallows?
Yes.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
It's great. I saw that. I saw 47 Meters Down. I have not seen the second 47 Meters Down because 47 Meters Down is not that great.
I also love the fact that 47 Meters Down uncaged sounds like the way they would have sold the unrated version of 47 Meters Down as a DVD.
Oh man. But that's the thing is that I didn't even know this movie was happening, but Devin and I saw a trailer for it before something, and I was just like, well, I'm seeing that. Don't even care. What's going on.
There was a big old standee up for a long time at the theater before it finally came out.
Oh,
but
really?
Apparently a big thing about this is that this movie was filmed like 3 or 4 years ago and got caught up in the, like, is it Fox? Was this a Fox film? It got caught up in some sort of like distribution problem, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was the Fox sale more than anything, but it was some sort of problem that took it forever to come out.
I'm just happy it did.
But yeah, I was just happy we all saw it.
Yeah, it's just so good, and like, I just love it so much. Like, everything made sense. All of the science, everything just made so much sense.
All of their decisions made sense. No one did a thing that was like so absolutely stupid.
Yeah,
like I try not to get very deep into when people are like, oh, why would someone do that? That's a dumb mistake. It's like, yeah, but that's because humans are panicky creatures and we make dumb decisions.
Yeah.
So as long as your decision makes sense, even as a panic move, I'm usually pretty liberal with whatever characters are going to do. I'm never the person that watches a horror movie and goes, well, why did you go upstairs? It's like, upstairs because you're fucking panicking and you ran for the first thing that you ran toward. I don't know. It happens. So, but like, I think about this movie and it's like, yeah, like these are smart people making smart moves. They're doing the thing that they have to do to survive. Like, it's not like they had another easier option in their path.
Yeah.
So,
and all the stuff, all of the camera work on while they're in the water, while they're in the suits was really cool. Those suits were awesome. The like, scuba suit. I mean,
yeah, again, like, a thing that just makes sense. That makes sense. Like, they show you, they show you just enough to be like, you don't need to know. We don't need to go any deeper than it hooks all together. It keeps them here. Here's their air, and then they go. And then later, it's like, okay, you've seen the air thing enough to know when the air thing looks bad later.
Yeah.
So when she pulls it out, and it's like, looks
red.
Like a fucking. It looks like fucking cigarettes have been chopped up inside of the thing for hours. You're like, okay, that looks bad.
Yeah, it was just. It's just so good, and everybody should go see Underwater. That's what I'm gonna say. It's weird because it kind of feels like a cheesy movie. It feels like a movie that's been done and all of that. Like we said, we compare it to Aliens and all of that. But the thing is that it doesn't matter because it's good.
Right, it is a good version of one of those.
Yeah.
It's not something that's breaking the mold, but it's a good thing that was made within that mold.
But the thing, like I said also, is like, it doesn't go down those really easy, like we were saying, it doesn't go down those easy trope holes. Yes, some of the tropes that we know from, you know, aliens on the ship, we gotta find a way off movies. It obviously takes some of those, but it twists them in a really really well way. And how seeing the technology, right? Seeing the underwater technology of how they're like, we gotta turn our lights off. We basically can only see in like the night vision. That was really cool. That technology was really cool and really nice. And it's like, yeah, these things don't, they're gonna attack the light because it's abnormal for them. Like,
and there's a romance subplot to this movie that is just for two of the side characters. It's not even Kristen Stewart's. Yeah. I almost said Kristen Kruick because I was thinking of the girl that plays Lana Lang in Smallville, but that's a different Kristen. Anyway, I've been looking at a lot of CBS things lately. I wrote about Beastly. Anyway, she's in the Beauty and the Beast TV show. That's where that connection comes in. Anyway, there is a romance subplot to this movie that is basically like not, it's just there. They're just like, oh, these two characters just started hooking up while they were down here, and then they fell into a relationship, and that's cool. So we're just going to try and keep them alive because we want to do that. And it's never like, it's not like I thought there was going to be a point where this turned around and Kristen Stewart was sleeping with the captain. Like, that's the easy way to write that story. And they didn't. They were like, no. Like, we get it. People in close quarters, sometimes relationships happen. We're going to save that for a thing down here. Mm-hmm. But it's not the main part of this story. We're not going to have, like, awkward glances and shit.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was something else I was going to bring up. The freaking slow motion in this movie. I am going to freak out over the slow motion in this movie for a second. Is that okay?
Sure. I'm not sure if this is going to be up or down.
No, it's good. It's up.
Okay.
It was some of my favorite moments in that movie when it just like totally became motionless. Like, it was just so cool. And it's like, yeah, in those situations, time can feel like it's going by.
It's used
so
as a
slow. Like, you get blasted back. You don't even know what the fuck is going on right now because you're so out of sorts. So it was a really cool way to kind of show that. Like,
like blackouts and concussions. It's used to exemplify blackouts and concussions.
Yeah.
It's not just actions happening, slow motion. It's like, no. It's because these characters that you're seeing have been bonked around on the head so much that they're just not taking things in at the second that they are seeing that.
Yeah. But the final image of this movie, right? The final image of her blowing up the drill and all of the water and fire coming forward is like ingrained in my head. And I was thinking about that one image the next day and the day after that and the day after that, and I'm still thinking about it. Like, it was just so like really good cinematography and like just photography in general. It was just like, it's such a well-made movie that everybody should see. It's so good. So good. So good. I love it. I want Underwater 2 to be freaking even better. I want there to be an Underwater 2.
I'm fine with it staying where it is because I don't know where you go from here. It risks becoming a Cloverfield if it's not careful.
It honestly risks becoming, the way I see it, it risks becoming Pacific Rim. Like,
also that.
Because
yes.
Here's the thing. That blast happened, right? The ultimate ending blast happens at the end of Underwater, right? Theoretically kills off all of the Tentas, right? But there's nothing saying... Sorry. There's nothing saying that there aren't other creatures like them still in the ocean that could be like, now it's our turn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, now it's our turn to come up to the surface and attack you. and there's build also the society for ourselves on the surface because we're gonna freaking evolve or something.
There's
you know,
there's also like the other like weird creature slasher sequel that you could do to this where one of the smaller ones survives and attacks like a group of people somewhere and is like completely almost separate from this act from this other story that's just like a side story to that.
It'd be
that
awful.
Would also work.
All of the sequels to this movie would be awful. I need to just say that, but I would love them because they would be so stupid. But no, in all honesty, it should just stay where it is. Should end how it ends. And it's like, and you have that ending of you have the two survivors and everything they're saying gets covered up. And then they start. Well, that's the thing. If I'm remembering correctly, they plan to start another project to drill.
They're opening something despite concerns about the other thing.
The
so
concerns.
what project is? Yeah,
they don't fucking learn. So
of course not.
If anything, if there if there was a sequel to this movie, it would be we didn't learn our lesson the first time, and now. Like, now it's an even bigger problem. These were just little tadpoles. Now you've gone and fucking woken up the, you know, mother of the mothers, right? Like,
yeah.
It was, you know, that could be where it's from. But again, I don't think that should happen. I don't think it will happen. I don't think this movie was well regarded. I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, so it falls under a lot of, I mean, horror films that come out in January, which is, it's put out there to just kind of fill in space. Unfortunately, this one specifically was like I said, made long ago. So someone's just sticking it out there to make some money back on it. Mm. And I thought like the budget was like $70 million, probably mostly to pay for the captain, who's the guy from Black Swan that I forget the name of. And Kristen Stewart. So, like, I don't know. It's probably not going to recoup any of its money, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But that's why horror movies that come out in January should never be more than $10 million movies to be made, not to make. They should be $10 million to make, and then they should make $15 to $25 million. That's the formula, people.
But, yeah, no. Bottom line, go see Underwater because it's fantastic, and it's just a fun journey. And, you know, it shows how disgusting, you know, power is with these companies that are
it's right
just
up
like,
there with right up there yeah. with the other bad capitalism kills a bunch of people horror movies.
Yep. And nature fights back. Also, people should go see Frogs. Not go see because it's not out, but people should watch Frogs. I'm just going to bring up another nature horror.
Cool.
Out
sure.
of nowhere. Have you ever seen Frogs?
I think I've heard of Frogs.
Oh,
I think I've
Zach.
Seen Frogs.
Oh, Zach. You need to watch Frogs.
Okay.
It's incredible. It has nothing, literally, it doesn't really have anything to do with underwater other than it is nature horror. It's basically nature's fighting back. It's so good, though. It's from the 70s. It's got
the best.
It's got Sam Elliott.
Oh, God.
It's great.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's great.
Anyway, what else have we done this week?
The only other thing I think I could talk about is I caught a Milcery, and now I have an Alcremie, and I'm really happy about that in my Shield playthrough. I'm really happy about that because I wanted an Alcremie for my Sword playthrough, but it never happened, whether or not I just love my team so much, or I just never found a Milcery. Whatever the case, it didn't happen. So I'm really happy, really, really happy about my little Berry, which is what I named her. The other thing is, real quick, I started a new show last week called Kipo and the Age of the Wonder Beasts.
I'd heard about that. I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard it's...
I love it.
Yeah, I heard it's supposed to be excellent.
I really, really love it. It's so much fun. It does a lot of cool things with music, which I am super appreciative to. But it's also, like, basically, real quick rundown of Kipo is it's, you know, quote-unquote post-apocalyptic, where, like, the overworld is now run by mutated animals. And some of them talk, some of them don't, which is fine and cool and just goes into the whole mutation of the animals. And pretty much humans have been forced to live underground. And Kipo gets, pushed out of her home because of one of these giant, you know, mutated animals. And everybody from her home kind of gets taken, or you don't really know what happens to them. And so it's basically her trying to find her friends. And on the overworld, she finds two more humans. And it's just really cool. It's cool that the... again, bringing up animals, it's cool to see the mutation of animals in a post-apocalyptic story, which is cool. And a lot of the animals are musical, which I love.
Fantastic.
I fucking love it. But like I said, it does... I think my favorite part of it is what it does with the soundtrack, and where... And, you know, the soundtrack, the score, just everything about it. And it's not like every episode doesn't have a sing-along song. It doesn't have, like, a lyrical song. But, you know, every episode has, like, a really, really cool underscore of just, like, really nice beats and, like kind of lo-fi hip-hop, kind of just, like, you know... regular electronic music. It has everything kind of going. There's an episode that's like straight up banjo-esque music. Like, it's just, it's really, really cool how it uses music to help tell the story and help, you know, underscore the story. And, you know, I'm gonna spoil this: guitar playing snakes. That's
there we
it.
Go.
That's all, you know, that's all.
Banjos and guitar playing snakes. What else is there to, what else do you need?
Yeah, it's great. I love it. It's DreamWorks.
Oh, yeah. Man, their animated show output is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep. It's impressive. So, let's see. I beat Batman again. I beat Arkham Asylum again to clear that off. I bought a 2 terabyte hard drive for my PS4, and I went to download like everything I had, and I almost filled it up, and I still have stuff left over. Yeah. I don't know where I got all these fucking games. So I'm just trying to like beat stuff and clear it off the hard drive. that's my goal, is to just like beat things so that I no longer feel obligated to re-download them. In that vein, I also played The Order 1886, which is a weird game because I liked it. It's a very basic game. It's weird. It's weird, and you should play it so we can talk about it.
Well,
because
I've played
it.
Here's the thing. Okay. I've played it, but I haven't beat it. I found the werewolf. I fought a werewolf.
Okay, so you fought a werewolf. It's weird how much they hold back on the werewolves in this game, because it's like 90% of the game is just like a regular ass shooter. Just like, I'm gonna cover here, I'm gonna shoot at these people, and they're gonna die. And then it's just like, oh, and also here's a boss fight with a werewolf, and then we're back to shooting humans for a couple of hours.
I think it's you have to go underground, and there's like werewolves. There's someone caged up, right? There's a werewolf caged up, and then they break out, and that you fight that, right? It's like it's within kind of like a mazy underground area. That's what I remember most from this, and it was like red and black, and like the area was like black with red lighting, lighting, and then the werewolf had like piercing red eyes and was attacking you. It was hard.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that those fights are just annoying, because I end up doing the same thing for all of them, which was sit in a corner, and as they come at you, shoot at them, dodge, and then after they run away, back in that corner again.
Yeah.
Because That, like, that game tutorializes everything. That was a launch game for the PS4 because it was trying to showcase the PS4. And what it showcased was we can make really pretty games, but they're pretty much still the same games.
The problem with that game. Yeah, the way I, like, describe that game and, like, think about that game is that it's basically a playable... I mean, video games in a lot of, you know, in a grand scheme of things, video games are playable movies. But that one is very much...
Well, especially because it's got the letterbox.
We're going to have a whole bunch of cutscenes that, like you said, I saw, I think you put on Twitter or in the Discord or something. Like,
there's an entire chapter that's just a cutscene.
Yeah, there's just cutscenes, and then there are cutscenes that have QuickTime events, and then there's, like, maybe some shooting.
There is still, like, there's a good decent, I mean, there's a decent amount of you controlling your character and shooting people. Yeah. Like, it's in there. Yeah. It's just like,
the problem
is that it's just that. Like, you're going to walk through these streets.
Yeah.
You're going to get in some firefights, and you're going to walk through some more streets, and then you're going to go to a cutscene, and you're going to walk through some more streets and get in a firefight.
No, this game is 100% a story game. Like, it's not. Mm. It's more about the story that's happening and telling you the story and allowing you to interact with that story than being, okay, go out and kill everything, go save the day, have fun.
Yeah, like, and unfortunately, the story they're telling, it's a good story. It's just like they had a really interesting premise that they just told the most boring-ass story with.
I remember really, really loving my time with it. I just played it and then stopped playing and never went back to it.
It's very well made. It's very well made, so it feels good to play. It's just that, like, especially when you have to sit there and watch the story, you're like, there's so much more interesting stuff you could be doing with everything you're talking about right now, and instead, you're just being pissy with each other.
Play The Order, and still, everybody.
I played it for 7.5 hours. I got it for $5. I cannot complain.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I got it real cheap when I worked at GameStop.
So, and now I'm playing through God of War 3.
Huh.
I should get back into God of War, but I don't remember anything about the other games. What if I got God of War 3 remastered off of, like, PS Plus? Let's try that. It's such a... I forgot how different those games were. Just in writing and in playing. And, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's so many... So video gamey. It's like an arcade game. There's like numbers and things yelling at me through the whole game so far. And it means nothing. They're like scoring you and like doing combos and stuff. And so it's like, here's a number that's going up on the side of the screen, but it's like, cool. It doesn't do anything for me though.
Oh my God. Yeah, those are games I've never played.
Oh, don't. I mean, they're fine. They're fine. It's just like, it's like to go back and find copies of the original God of War games. It's
we have them. It's like, they're in our house right now.
Yeah.
Because Devin has
them. Sure. Give them a shot then.
Yeah.
The second I started playing, I was like, oh my God. I can't, like, the way that they did the remaster is so weird. So everything's like blending together. And so it's like hard to follow what I'm doing half the time. Ugh. Anyway.
Oh, man. I think that's where we're going to call it. I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm
tapped out.
Yeah. I think we spend most of this episode talking about underwater.
It's going to happen. It's fine.
Yeah. So do you end this? Do I end this?
This has been Say Report Junior, a podcast you should be subscribed to, listening to, downloading every week. You can find us on Twitter and YouTube if you search Say Report Junior. You can find us on Spotify and all other podcast stuff if you search Say Report Junior. You can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Sir Whiskey.
And I'm at Dale's Brain.
Oh, and I'm writing again, so look up gamingstoryserowick.wordpress.com and read about Beastly the video game.
There you go. I wanna just end this with everybody should go get ice cream. But just remember that in the, like, 60s and 70s, guys, people had to cut their song short to be 2 minutes and, like, 50 seconds. Just remember that. Just, like, think about that for a second. All right?
Is that a thing we're going to talk about next week? What's going on?
No, I just was listening to SiriusXM, listening to the Billy Joel channel, and, like, I've always known that that was the thing in the 60s and 70s. But
that was like a hard limit they put on people?
Yeah, did you not? Have you not heard this? Have you,
no,
do you not know
I
this?
Did not know that was like a hard limit.
Oh my God, people. Zach. Yeah, no. Songs, radios would get a brief history lesson about music before we end the episode. I was just going to be like, I was just going to leave it as a little stinger, but now I got to explain it to you. Yeah, no, they, so have you ever heard Billy Joel's The Entertainer?
I'm sure.
Okay, so there's a line in the Billy in that song that says, it was a beautiful song, but it ran too long. If you want to have a hit, you got to make it fit. So they cut it down to 305. And that was, if you like presented a song that was longer than the grace length was like 3 minutes. But radios and shows really only wanted like 2 minutes and 50 seconds. They would cut your song up. And Don Henley, I just punched the microphone. Don Henley actually talks on the Billy Joel channel and tells a story about how they wrote a beautiful song, and it like the night before it was gonna be on radio or something like that, they just one night these editors came in and completely cut stuff out of the song without
any input or anything,
without letting them know, and you know, they heard it on the radio a few days later and were like, what the fuck did they do to our song? And so they found out who did it, who edited the song up, and got a golden record, put a hacksaw on it or in it or whatever, like put a hacksaw and put it up in frame and bolted it to the record wall. And it was like the golden hacksaw award or whatever. It's like, you fucked up our song. You ruined our song by doing that. So it's just like, remember that, like, in the 60s and 70s, there were those confines. And now we are allowed that we can have like 6 minute songs. I just appreciate that. Just next time you listen to a really fucking long song, appreciate that it's a really long song. All right? Just get in it, get in the song, get in the music, and appreciate the hell out of it. Because you couldn't in the 60s and 70s. That's my stinger for this episode.
Bye, everybody. Take it away, Liz.
Thank you for listening to The Say Report with your hosts, Dale Decker and Zach Sarawick. Please follow the guys on Twitter and Facebook by searching for The Say Report. And you can always subscribe on your podcast channel so this is delivered straight to you and you can enjoy it every week. With apologies to your mother, we'll see you next time.